I need your love, your sparkling love.
That was what we were supposed
that's
to say.
The original
Yo,
that's
our conceived as one, split into two. Gonna talk so much shit till the air goes blue. After, we're through. You're gonna wish you were monozygotic too. Just a couple of NIM pods up to no good. A couple of NIM pods up to no good. See what we're doing there? It's Nimrods. But it's a podcast with NIM pods.
NIM pods.
Hello, and welcome. Get right in there.
Fucking kiss it.
Welcome to NIM pods.
So, Jay, what do you think about this audio quality? Getting right in there, all sexy like.
You're still a little
far away. We're a little close.
No, we're not a little close.
No, personally, we're close. Like me and you, lips this are very close.
But when you really realize it, this is the way we're gonna have to be, unless we get two mics.
I think where I am is fine. Like this is still closer than we've ever been. Where I currently
this
am.
This is closest we've ever been.
Is it your whisper voice? Pillow talk, baby?
Yeah, I did pillow talk.
I don't want to hear you pillow talk. Welcome to NIM pods. This, like, we're really, we've been really sucking lately on this whole weekly thing. So I really think we should bring the fans something special here.
Well, I don't really want to talk about scheduling, but maybe we just do it every 2 weeks.
It's an every 2 week podcast? The fucking lean.
Wow.
It's every week, and we gotta kiss ass every second week saying that we skipped 1 week.
Okay. So what's happened in the last couple of weeks?
I don't know.
Since Mook stormed out, the infamous Mook stormed out episode. Actually, no.
It's a little creepy. You're just, your hair in my bubble. You're just ever so slightly in the and it's not like I'm having a conversation with you. It's like it really feels like we're about to make out.
Well, the thing is
maybe that's what the fans want.
We
I can see in your eyes like you get a little bedroom eyes.
We
going.
Shared a womb and we were a lot closer, so I think you should just suck it up. Suck it up.
Talking about twins actually at work a little bit and what's the most annoying question when people realize that you're a twin? What's the most overused? What's the most used?
Well, the one that really, really gets my goat, I have a story to counter from that. But anyway, the most annoying one is, oh, you guys don't look identical. If they know us both or they see us both.
Oh, you're about with the semantics. You're about technically we are monozygotic twins.
That's why we put it right up front.
And you say it like that too, right?
That's why we put it right up front in our intro. That's where the joke is, like the monozygotic. No, because
you're so fucking smart.
No, it is not. See, that's the thing is that people think that I'm trying to be smart, but I'm not. I'm just trying to explain to them that. The identical twin is
a term.
Yes. I actually was talking to Garrett Dykema. This is Maggie May. Like this is like a past guest on our show, dad, and ran into him in Walmart, and we were talking about that, and he's like, "Oh, in Germany they have a really easy way to explain that stuff. They're two egg twins." Or one egg twin. And I'm like, man, that's so fucking easy. Like, why don't we have, like, do that here? This side of the pond. I mean, that's so much easier. We're a one egg twin. So I'm just going to, instead of being monozygotic, because, like, it sounds obnoxious. Like, I am trying to be smart, but I'm not. It just happens to be kind of like this kind of complicated name. I'm just going to say I'm a one egg twin.
That's going to go over pretty good, I think.
But I think I'm going to, but I, again, I'm still going to get those kind of blank looks.
It's like you eat one egg for breakfast?
I don't know.
With a double egg. I want double eggs. Annoying, like, you got to think of it as like, this must be like when you're really popular or like a celebrity of some sort, where you get the kind of the same questions like, oh, how is it like to work with blah, blah, blah. Well, you kind of get that with being an identical twin. It's like, oh. Common questions are, I think the main one is like, oh, if you get hurt or if your twin gets hurt, do you feel that, like, do you feel it? That's always a really common one. It's like, probably, it's like after, no, it probably is like the number one. And I don't find it that annoying because you know you got to bear with them. It's like, oh, this is the first time. They've heard this question once, and they're asked this question once.
Yeah.
You can't bust their balls, right?
But
that's just hard.
What do you like? We don't know a lot of twins. We went to school with none
that we would like hang out with.
But I almost kind of blame our twin brethren, if you may, because
play it up.
I think this is I'm kind of talking on my ass in this regard.
Dan talking on his ass. This a first in Nimpod history.
No, I try to, and usually if I say I'm talking on my ass, I usually, you know, put that in asterisk.
You usually try to talk out of your mouth.
Yeah. No. Is that I think they play it up. I think most twins are not like us, and we kind of always wanted to. We were always kind of battling that, not battling it, but like I think it's just because we like even if we did feel like if you got hurt and I felt it, if that actually happened,
we wouldn't give a shit.
We wouldn't care. Well, we would care, but if that ever did happen, it was beaten out of us just by like how annoying it is. Because like,
and you get that from, you think, you seen other twins and like maybe movie twins, at that kind of like, you know, cater to that stereotype.
Well, I hear
where it, like they dress the same, they
yeah,
talk the same, and
no, but I hear it from almost like it's secondhand though. Like I rarely hear it out of the horse's mouth because I rarely talk to other twins, but it's you know, it's family. Like family members, like say you're working with someone and it's like, oh, my sister had twins. Oh, and oh, but I have a question for you. Do you, when one is hurt, do the other ones feel it? It's like, cause my nieces, they're like, they totally do that. You know what I mean? It's almost like the people that know twins, they want to do that. They want the magic.
We fought being twins quite a bit, like especially in high school and stuff. I remember like I made sure not to talk to you like during even though we hung out in the same circles.
Yeah,
like I think and do you think that is more about we're just fucking annoyed at each other, or was it more like, oh, it that wouldn't be cool?
Yeah, well, we were kind of,
because like after school we'd hang out. Like, we hung out all the time.
Well, it was just that idea that I think we just kind of wanted to carve out our own yeah, little niche. But
how much do you blame, like, our parents on the non letting us carve our own thing?
Not much. I think for the most part.
You don't think, like, buying, you know, buying shirts up to the, like, even now, where she, like, mom will buy us a brand new shirt, like, the same shirt?
The thing with,
you don't think that, like,
I think with a parent is, having a twin, the novelty never wears off.
Oh, my! For mom, no.
Well, I mean, I'm just kind of
dad, probably not as much.
Coming from the idea of, you know, our only really experience is being our mother. But yeah, like I mean, she loves the fact that she had twins. Still, like 31 years later, that's fine. I mean, really, is it really worth it if she? If she gets us like matching sweaters for Christmas and they're like, but it's always distinctly two different types of colors, right? It's not.
How does the color breakdown?
The color breakdown works like this. Mom always finds a deal. It's always like a 2-for-1 deal. You know, God bless her. But she has to find, it can't be, it's the same shirt, but just different colors. Dan, me, has been relegated to, I guess, a little bit more loud, maybe even pastel type colors. For some reason, I guess. I have no idea. Maybe I live out loud more, apparently, to my mom. Like, because our mother totally knows us, like, you know, inside and out. That's sarcasm. And I'm not a big fan of sarcasm, but in my case, my mother, I'm going to use it. And then Jay is sort of these muted, sort of browns.
Grays.
I would actually almost say a little more timeless. Your colors.
Sure.
So we have this, do you keep those now that you're grown up and you have your own closet and stuff?
I'm going to buy my own clothes.
No. And you buy your own clothes.
Well, my wife buys my own clothes.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I keep them.
You keep them? Yeah, I mean, I think I still have them around. But I mean, it's without fail. Like, this Christmas coming up, it'll be the same thing. It'll be two shirts or two pants or jacket. I mean, it's mom's little thing. I don't really put too much onus on anymore. Like, if she, you know, living with her, growing up with her, and this occurring all the time was annoying. But now, you know, being an adult, you have a lot more choice. You can kind of just, you can do whatever you want with a shirt or whatever.
So what's been going on?
I like this. I like the twin talk, actually. I think maybe this should be kind of our direction.
A little more twin talk?
Why not? Because it's like...
It's actually a little bit more focus.
A little more focus. Anyone have any twin questions that aren't annoying? Even the annoying ones, we will answer once and for all. Once they're answered on here, we're just going to direct everyone to have to listen to us ramble to get the answer. So, the question is, have we ever been hurt, one of us, and the other ones felt it? Go.
I don't know. I don't remember, really.
Again,
I know that when you were a kid, when we were younger, there was times, but now I totally blanked out.
See, before we even knew better, I'm sure there was times when we were younger where, oh yeah, of course. And even thoughts, too. We can read each other's thoughts and do all that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, we can.
The thing is about...
I know what you're going to say most of the time.
Well, that's the thing. It's not about reading people's minds. It's, for the most part, twins, like, are always around.
Well, if you're always around them, like...
Yeah, like, of course I'm knowing what you're thinking. Because it's like the closeness is, like, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how, you know, really good relationships and stuff. Like, you start finishing your sentences and stuff
what was
like
that. Like, what was that all talk about? Why were you all, like, sultry there?
I was trying to get a little more pillow talk.
No more pillow talk. Oh, man.
It's womb talk, man. It's inside the womb. You don't have to yell inside the womb, man. You just got just sweet nothings.
What if you like to go to thrift shops? I don't go to thrift shops as much, but...
Why not? What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm just better than that, but...
because I worked at one. But because that's true.
But I'm better than that. No, but I heard you made a very interesting purchase. Nothing like... It's very geeky. And like
It's awesome. It's actually the combination of two of my loves. Comic books and hockey / Wayne Gretzky. I got two like low budget...
Black and white.
Early 90s Gretzky... Unauthorized biographies.
Unauthorized. Like, but they're both, and they were separate series and everything.
Separate series. Good reads. It was funny because both of them are like the same story, obviously.
I got them here.
Yeah, they're both the same story. But one's like done like very like for kids. Like, it's really easily digestible. But one actually has
one
decent art.
One was...
More words. Same story, more words.
It's called Sports Superstars Comics, and it's done by a company called Revolutionary Comics. And I actually was just looking the back here. They had quite a line of... They had a Beatles one.
Beatles comic?
A Luke Perry, Jason Priestley one.
Fuck.
90210.
How awesome would it be to find that?
A comic called Psycho Man. A Ricky Henderson, Ted Williams one. A Gene Roddenberry, like, biography one. And a Jane's Addiction one.
What?
Yeah. We Jane's Addiction, the controversial and in many ways unprecedented career of this L.A. band is finally told in one of Revolutionary's most fiercely demanded bios. We should really plug this one. This is the one where the art is actually pretty decent.
Who's the artist in this?
The artist
See if he's still working.
Edgar Bercasio.
So, yeah, if... Let's hope this guy's still working. He's
decent.
Decent.
I mean, the Gretzky looks like Gretzky most of the time. And
the art's heavily detailed. I mean, if you compare it to the other abomination of an unauthorized Wayne Gretzky comic biography, it's like we're talking what kind of... Yeah, we're talking...
Like, you just see it right on the cover right away. It's like there's just something...
It's like this painted kind of...
Something's off.
Something's drastically off here. Yeah, okay, what's this one? This is the other one.
This one's called All Pro Sports Comics.
Which point out for the cover price?
$250 in 92.
So in 92, $250, that's a little high. But it's black and white.
Yeah, I guess it's kind
of indie book. But can you explain, or do you want me to explain? Like, you got it. This is called All-Star Pro.
There's a disclaimer right at the start. This story is called The Great Gretzky. And I just want to read this. It was pretty funny. This is very geeky, but it'll make you laugh. This is All-Pro Sports Comics number 5. But don't worry. You did not miss All-Pro Sports Comics number 3, Muhammad Ali, or the number 4, Steffi Graf. They have been delayed. The Ali book will be out in the summer, and the Graf book will be out in a month. And then on another note, we need more artists.
But okay, so follow this here. Like, so this is number 5 of the book.
But
number one and two came out fine. It's fine. And so it went 1, 2, 5. But if you actually read it, so
Steffi Graf
number 4 is going to come out again before number 3. So it came out 1, 2, 5, 3, 4. That's the release of these amazing books. But yeah, like, look at the art here.
It literally looks like a coloring book, like a simple coloring book. And the other book had decent art, but it clearly was a guy who probably didn't follow hockey that much, because a lot of the shots and stuff looked goofy. But this one's like,
how many cameos of Jason are in
there's
in this
cameos
book?
Of Jason in
twice.
It with a shirt that says I love New York. So
twice.
Obviously the New York number 8, Friday number 8, I think it's 8, isn't it?
Jason in Manhattan or whatever.
Yeah, and he's a goalie in one scene.
So he's supposed to be, what, Mike Richter? But who's he supposed to be?
Well, what it is, it's like a biography of Wayne Gretzky, so it runs through kind of like all the way up to when he joined the Kings. It makes no sense that he'd be playing Jason, because Jason Voorhees would never play in the NHL.
Clearly.
But he's actually got blood on this part.
Hey, did you, just a totally random little snippet here, another sports trivia. I was reading this. Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah. I was just reading something about him today.
Cincinnati Reds. Used to play on the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he played for a few years, I think. And
crazy.
He looked, yeah. And it was like the way he looks now. Or I guess he's dead now. I suppose he died. I don't know.
Is he dead or is he not? Another little...
Is he dead or is he not? Oh,
are they dead?
Holy shit, Kirby Puckett. This is going to turn me into a puck that. But anyway, yeah, that... Like a lot of the shots, like the way he shoots the slap shot, like the stick should be on the wrong side. It just doesn't have the flow that it should be.
It actually gave me the idea. I want to do a million things. It's all just getting the gumption. A hockey comic book, legitimate hockey comic book, like.
Just follows a league, a team, or a player.
Yeah, it just follows like a team. Like,
and it's all made up.
Done kind of like, yeah. It's done like, you know, sort of like, what's that Steelhead show? It was like
Hamilton Steelheads. I forget what that show was.
But called. More sexy. So more like
Lumber Pillow Talk.
Al Pacino movie with Cameron Diaz. It's a football.
Oh, the Sharks. That was Any Given Sunday.
Any Given Sunday version of hockey, but in comic book form. Does that make any sense? No.
Yeah.
But yeah, like kind of like a sexy, you know, you have like this, like, you know, sexy owner coming over, taking over a team. And yeah, you just, but I mean, you never really see a lot of sports comics. I doubt there's a big demand, but fuck it. I want to see it. I want to read that book. Yeah. On a completely different note. So a possible Michael Donaghy.
Yeah, this is blowing up in the local area.
Well,
I think we got to go back, like, you know, because we. Yeah, Michael Donaghy was, it's a very well-known story here. It was actually, it's pretty well-known.
World-renowned.
It's world, but I mean, obviously it's a centralized to the Vancouver Island area. A kid that went missing, basically, in 1991 when he was 4. I think he was just about 5. So he'd be 27 now, and no sign, like, they haven't... I remember overall, the story has always been a big story. It's because we were around similar age.
It was sort of transfixed the island.
Yeah,
in general, because
it turned it from the island is definitely known as like not, you know, it's laid back. We run on island time. It's not really It's not the hectic city life.
I remember it changed.
It changed the island, and it just kind of went cold. Like, this whole... I mean, and now... Canucks.com, actually, of all places, is actually where this guy was found.
But what it sounds like is that he did frequent these forums now and then. It wasn't like... It does seem like a strange forum to...
He didn't just throw it out. He was like a part of the forum.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I guess he's been contacted by Victoria Police.
Yeah, they contacted him.
Yeah. Because I think it sounds like, there might be more to the story, but it just sounds like they think that a picture of him that he's been circulating of him looks very similar to like a age enhanced picture of Michael Dunahy when he, and they would be the similar ages. And but it's very fluffy, and who knows? And supposedly, they do this a lot. They did a blood sample of this. They've got a blood sample from him. He lives in Surrey now. This guy, unnamed. They haven't named him or anything. But holy shit, would that be huge if it ended up being it? Like, I guess even the cops are like. Pretty sure that it's not him, but they just want to rule out any possibility. But that would be incredible, an incredible story. I think, I've seen the picture of him, and I don't know. There's something about it that really I've thought about it, and he does have similarities.
He's the eyes and mouth, the lips.
Yeah, you'll have to see the picture. Michael Dunahy, it's a little bit visual here, but
Michael Dunahy, he's like the in his kid pictures, he's got kind of like this. I noticed that he's got this kind of really thin upper lip, and in the age enhanced one, they obviously that's follows through, and it's kind of thin. And this kid, or this Surrey guy from Surrey, he's got the very similar mouth,
mm-hmm.
and the eyes are there. They're very similar. The only thing that kind of is questionable for me is. His face doesn't seem it's the bones, I guess, like the his skull doesn't match up. Like this guy from Surrey, he kind of almost like a smaller, kind of shorter face.
Mm-hmm.
Like Michael Dunahy, he kind of looked like he had a little longer, but I don't know. It looks.
Do you think it looks like him?
I think it definitely looks like him. But then again, I haven't seen pictures, really good pictures of these, of other people that have come along.
Yeah, they could be guys that look exactly like him too.
And it's,
it's definitely. I think one thing about the story in that, maybe it's because of the age of social media and stuff. It's got huge, totally way too quick. I don't know. Like obviously, this guy just came up by himself, so that may be the problem. But yeah, so, I mean, if it turns out that it's not him and it's just another test they did, it's gonna look weird, not weird, but it's just kind of no reason to make it a big deal. But I mean, who knows?
Well, I'm just thinking, everyone's different, but if the police came to me and was like, "Hey, you, it looks like you have kind of a resemblance to Michael Dunahy. We want to take a DNA sample." I mean, are you going to go and post online everything?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not faulting him for doing that. I'm just thinking, is that
the first
best
thing
way to
yeah.
do it? Because you're kind of like stirring up stuff that...
Yeah.
And he even says in his post that he doesn't think... it doesn't seem like... He's really believing it himself, but I don't know. I just don't really think that I would do it right. Like, it seems like it was fairly quick that he kind of did that. Like, is he, and again, like the police contacted him. That's what it sounded like. So he's not causing a stir.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know if I would exactly do that. Cause what is he going to get from, posting on Canucks.com?
Yeah.
Like what, he's just going to get a bunch of people going, hope this case can get solved. One thing about the Michael Dunahy case that's pretty crazy is that they have very very little to go on. Like, he was taken, like, in a park with, like, tons of adults around. And, like, there was very little tips. Very little, like, leads.
Well, I'm sure there's tons, but they just...
Well, the ones we know... Like, yeah. But, like, in that in there's 20, a lot in 20-plus years, like, you'd think they would have, like, I don't know. Like, it's such a baffling mystery. You know, if this man in Surrey is him, like, wow. Like, it really kind of ends a very big question mark. Like, kind of like in everyone's life.
Like, I mean, that kind of age range and stuff. And like,
in the area.
I remember it changed a lot. Like, I mean, it turned our parents into, I mean, I know my mom was pretty freaked out about it. And, or, like, our, and she basically turned a paranoid mom into a super paranoid mom. And I know it did affect her, too. And how we were raised and how, like, protective she was. And stuff.
To
this day, she hates Victoria.
In a lot of ways, it probably changed a lot of how, you know, 20-somethings on the island were raised. And if not the country, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely... The Dunahee case
definitely is... the island is where the hub of it, like... But anyway, this is...
Kind of a downer.
It's kind of a downer.
But it's not really a downer. Like, if this actually comes out... This guy is pretty awesome. Michael Dunahee, like...
It actually is weird. It's interesting because, like, there's... Like, I remember just not that long ago, maybe a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, I was in Coombs, and I picked up a book, a Michael Dunahee book that I guess recently came out on the case and stuff, and I was just flipping through it. But it was the first time I thought about it in, like, a while.
Well, it was weird. Only a few months ago, I was, like, looking into the case, like, learning a little more about it and stuff.
It's
just
weird,
by random, like,
yeah. But it's not like the 20, it's like 23
it's
years.
Something that's always in the back of your mind, but now, yeah. And then you kind of think about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm hoping it's the guy and we can get this kind of like we can kind of move on, but I mean and also for the sake of the parents and stuff, like,
yeah,
how fucking amazing would that be? But at the same time, it's, if it's not, I mean, it's really shitty. I don't know what else to say.
So have you heard about this Tusk movie? Tusk.
Well, it's the Kevin Smith movie that he's writing, and he wants Michael Parks to be in it.
Oh, it's like past that.
Michael Parks signed on,
shooting in September.
What? What about Clerks? They have like Clerks 3?
That's postponed.
What?
They're shooting it like in April or something now, and they're doing Tusk, and it's, I believe, a $3 million budget that they got from like Blumhouse, which did like Scott Derrickson's like Sinister and stuff. Like, he basically just sent him an email saying that, like, he likes, you know, what they do, and, like, you know, little budget movies that do well. And the Bloom guy, I forget his name, something Bloom, and he's like, oh, this script's fucked up, it's, you're insane, you're crazy, man. And he's like, I love it. I'm in. And then
that's awesome.
And so, like, they were touring. I guess he went, it's in like Austin, I think that's Blumhouse is from. And I think Kevin Smith went there with Mosher or something like this. I briefly read it. And they're building this like new, like renovating this area in the actual building. And Kevin Smith walks in this place and it's just a big hole. Like, and he's like, this is the walruses cave. Like, and they're like, okay. And so they're going to build a set in this place. It's crazy.
So
it was on Swancast a month ago.
It
was literally made up. Like the idea.
I have to listen to it. I haven't
259. I think. 259. I mean, this is really geeking out here. Like, why we do this podcast is because of Kevin Smith's Swancast, basically. So,
it kind of sounds as like it's like a one location sort of.
Yeah,
sort of
it's like it's like a really, well, for Kevin Smith, like short script. I think it's like 80 pages. But Michael Parks is
Red State was like 80 pages.
Yeah, but Michael Parks is gonna be the like the carpenter type guy, like the guy who hires or gets the lodger, I guess. And it's all based in like Manitoba somewhere.
Oh really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. He changed it from like, I guess the original story was from like the UK, and he's like, nah, I gotta put he wanted to put Canadiana in it because. There was a lot of stuff for Hit Somebody that he couldn't put in that he wanted to put in this. So it was like small town Manitoba.
Oh, that's awesome. They're shooting in Austin?
They're shooting in LA.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'm totally wrong with the Austin thing. But anyway,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Congrats, Kevin Smith. That's going to be, I'm looking forward to that.
And yeah, there's a lot of people that think like Kevin Smith's a bit of a hack and stuff. I mean, I've always been a fan, and I like his, to use Dan's word, gumption. That's count two in this
gumption thing. Count two?
Gumption count. And I've used one. But I just like his get up and go. And like, yeah, sure, he's got a following and he's got money. He can do stuff that normal people can't do. But it gives you hope that, hey, sitting down having a conversation with somebody, just fucking around about an idea. And then like, I mean, that's basically what we've done for 31 years. It's like, hey, you know what would be awesome? The only, like, obviously we don't have the money that Kevin Smith does or the poll, but it's kind of like what we've done forever. And that's why I want to get, I really like the podcast idea and why we do Nimpods is you get those flows going. You get some nuggets, you get some gold.
But it's also,
also another Dan term, nuggets.
But for me, it's like, it's more of just getting it on wax. Like I love the idea of one day, like opening these up 20 years from now and like, oh man, look at these stupid conversations we used to have. Like
how much would you have like loved to have started this podcast when you were 12?
Well, remember we used to do those little cassettes and do little raps on them, yeah, and stuff when we were like 10 years old.
We do like little.
How much would you like, who would you murder to get those just to like listen to them? Like,
oh, I remember most of the time it was like, welcome to Jamie and Dan's top 10, and it would be like literally like
right off the radio
95.3, like songs like just really dancey songs, and for some reason like it would be like,
well, we were into the dance music because the girls were into dance music. Well, it's just like, the way it goes. Yeah. It's all about the
Ace
pussy
of Base, like Ace of Base and stuff. Like, yeah, I think
we were only into Ace of Base. I'm gonna save us here and everyone will understand. It was for pussy, but we didn't know
what pussy.
We didn't know what pussy was. But I'm just saying that's what we did it for. Did it for the nookie. Yeah. Not like it really helped.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, if anything, it actually, again, right? For something we didn't really, really fully grasp either, it probably helped us in being thought of as gay. So that means we could hang out with more girls.
Yeah. Still didn't work.
It still didn't work. What's your favorite Ace of Base song? Because obviously, Sign. I saw the sign.
Nah, that's the marketing one. That's the one they had to get big.
This one that was like the 13-year-old girls like get into.
Yeah, yeah. Remember we were gonna start that.
Which we were when we were 13.
We were literally no. This is the complete true story. Ace of Base was. Like, people probably don't even know what Ace of Base is now. Like, you have to explain what Ace of Base is and how big the sign was. But we started a pseudo, like, cover band. We had an Ace of Base cover band. And we literally had no singing. We didn't practice singing. We practiced a little bit of dancing. But it was totally just to hang out with these two hottest girls from elementary school. And it actually worked.
It worked.
It worked a lot. It worked really well.
We were, I have to say, we were smoother when we were 13 than we were when we were 18.
More skills. But I remember the one girl, she comes up to me, I'll never forget this, and she's like, we're walking home, and she's like, we could get really big. Like, are you going to be okay with singing in front of millions of people, dancing to Ace of Base songs?
But did we even have... I remember there's a song.
Like an original?
Like, oh, yeah. But we didn't... How... Okay, this is clearly, like hype before anything. Is we...
We were marketing before we even knew how to dance.
I don't remember even rehearsing once. Not even for 5 minutes.
No, that was moot.
It's not about that. It's all about the looks.
You know what's weird? Is like, Backstreet Boys and all that stuff was, like, after that. Like, we... I'm going to go out on a limb and say we were trying to be... The original boy bands.
No, we weren't, because there was girls in it. We were trying to be Ace of Base.
Yeah, but Ace of Base had guys. We were the guys.
That's what I'm saying. A boy band requires all boys. Yeah. Following me?
Well, that's just like the spinoff was going to be us. The monozygotic boys.
No, it was the one egg twins.
One egg twins.
No, it's like one, it's one E-T. One E-T.
Like,
because it's got to be like,
oh, yeah, it's got to be
acronym.
Like
right?
One D.
Yeah, for sure. No, like, I mean, those are fun times, actually.
It's funny, because, like, that was... How long ago was that now? Like, 25 years ago.
I remember the line, and I don't know if this is gonna upset, like, the other creative minds on in our... Sorry. The two girls, therefore, the creative minds in this band, we were just the sex part of the band. Like, we were just there for the beefcake, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the line was, and this is what we were supposed to sing, because the girls, you know, they had voices.
Oh, and this original song.
Well, we were supposed to sing, I need your love, your sparkling love. That was what we were supposed to say.
That's the original song? That sounds that's like our original. Space song.
that's what we were already cribbing it. Cribbing Ace of Base. No, it was.
But remember the Ace of Base guys, like, did have that huge, deep, like, the deep voice?
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to do the, like, the baritone. I need your love. You're sparkling with no.
Pretty sure balls didn't drop by then.
They still haven't.
What are you talking about? I have.
All right.
Talking about boy bands, actually. Nick Carter's making a movie. Have you heard about this?
No.
Nick Carter.
I care very little. Who's Nick Carter? That's the older one, right?
He's the blonde guy.
There's Aaron Carter's the
yeah,
little.
Aaron,
the little...
Aaron's party.
Okay, so Nick
Aaron's
Carter.
Like, he's not part of Backstreet Boys.
So Nick Carter, kind of like, he's kind of like big and like bloated looking now, right? And stuff.
Yeah,
he
he's
looks
kind of
like a kind of a
I
beach
think he's
whale.
Getting back into like better,
getting in shape.
I think Backstreet Boys are kind of back together or something.
Backstreet's are back. Backstreet is back
again. Anyway, he's a big horror buff supposedly, and oh, yeah. He wants to produce horror movies. So he set up an Indiegogo thing.
Oh yeah,
called Evil Blessings or something.
Okay, so
something
why
like he wants 85 grand? So only 85 grand. But he doesn't have 85 grand.
Well, I mean, that's the same thing we were talking about the Zach Braff.
Yeah.
Does he like, not have 2 million that he can?
Yeah, but 85 grand like
is way less than 2 million. That's, I'd almost say that's kind of borderline embarrassing, because raising $2 million, Zach Braff raising $2 million
that yet.
Raising $2 million for Zach Braff is like that's. I mean, no one in their right mind is going to put up $2 million of their own money to make a movie.
Right.
But 85 grand. Like, sell a car, dude.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have any money.
But
who
is
knows?
That automatic?
He was in a show, but that was a while ago.
I mean, an 85 grand movie, I'm already giving it a little bit more credit than if he actually had some kind of budget. Because it's like, obviously, they're going to have to, like, you know,
do a little
think outside the box. And, like either it's going to be completely terrible, or people are actually going to, like, instead of just the money hose, you know, washing everything away, all the problems away, you know, they might... Who knows? I'm actually that's kind of interesting to me.
He's got like a director and stuff.
Like it's different looks... for some reason for me. It's different if he even had like say even 750 grand. It ends up being like a, you know, like it all in my mind. It's
yeah.
It's enough money.
Maybe he has up. Well, maybe he has a 100, 200 grand, and then he needs 85 more.
Oh, who knows? Oh, okay. I don't know. Thing. Oh, you don't know the full thing. Usually, I want to know the full deets before I talk on my.
Well,
ass.
Most of the time. Well, what do you think about Nick Carter being, like, a movie producer? Like, a lot of people would be like, oh, dude, he's the Banksy boy. He's singing. I actually give him, like, everybody else is doing it. And, like, they were big, like, 20 years ago.
If
like,
he's if it's something he wants
to
do.
What if he has $5 together and he always wanted to make a movie? Like, everybody are so quick to put people in boxes. And that would, if I was ever a celebrity, that would be the number one, like, thing that would just kill me. Like you never know what you're gonna do well, like, you know what I mean? Like,
if it's something that he wants to do, then all the power to him.
Well, like, you know, the guys who end up being actors and do really well, like it was like Johnny Depp, but he always wanted to be a rock star, and yeah. Like, you know what I mean, like acting was just kind of his thing. I think it's Johnny Depp, and but like he probably it, you know, it's a joke if he goes and plays music now, but he, you know, who knows, he might have played music for 20 years before he acted. Like, he could be a, you know, who, you know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
Like, always box him in.
Is he do you know if he's gonna star in these things, or
yeah,
is
I think
he
starred and produces in it. I thought it was interesting. It looks like a very, like, you know, kind of like what the horror movies are to these days.
All right, well, we're gonna sign off here. We'll come back.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We really want to do this like on a regular basis, not 2 weeks like Dan says. We're trying to do this once a week, but it's been tough. Like Dan,
this is where the excuses come in. But Dan works like a night shift.
And it's fine. I'm always available.
Yeah, you know, he's always. It's like it really. It, there is no excuse. But and we really don't care if people listen to this. It's not really. It's not what it's for.
But I mean, like, for people that are listening, we're not. It's not a big fuck you. No.
Again, nah, just cut that.
Okay.
And so. Off to the side, sounding like shit most of this Nimpod is Jamie.
And I'm Dan.